News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. And right here on the News Talk Powerhouse in North Alabama, WVNN. And by the way, this is ranked right now as the top afternoon talk show across the northern part of the state. That's because of this audience. That's because of y'all, bunch of Right Side ruffians tuning in. And if we have any success, if Copper and I are able to say yay about the show and where we're headed, it's because of this audience. And I do not take that for granted. And I say this all the time. Do not think these are platitudes, by the way. This is legit. I mean, I find myself every day saying, I cannot believe that this is going the way it is. But it's an honor to have this platform. I got a little sign right here above me, and I reach up. I know y'all hear me say this, but I do. I actually reach up, and I hit it, and it literally says, it's an honor to have this platform. So there's that. Hey, by the way, if you are listening to the show and you're driving and you find yourself getting outside the range of AM FM, or you're going on vacation, or you want to just, you know, patch in from wherever, or you want to refer to a friend, all I'm telling you is you can do that no matter where you are in the whole wide world, because we have the whole wide world web. And all you got to do is go to rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. So yeah, we got people that call in from out of state because they can stream it online. So AM FM is great, but if you're missing a part of the show, or you want to catch up, or you want to keep it with you while you drive, stream it, man. Go to any one of your devices, your smartphone, whatever. I've got friends that call in from out of state and say they're listening to the show. Take it on vacation, everything. But also in that, we just added something yesterday. So if you haven't heard, and by the way, Copper, I think you were looking. Hey, Copper, grab the mic. You were
Yeah.
You were looking at the store, the Right Side store on your phone yesterday and didn't see the button. Am I right in saying that?
Oh, I looked at my laptop and actually I was just looking in the wrong place. I was looking in the menu rather than above it.
Okay. Well, nonetheless, what I was going to say was we fixed it because the Right Side store, like the phone version, did not have the button. We got that fixed today. So basically, Birdman, who's a whiz with tech stuff, he got it squared away. But folks, here's the deal. We got a Right Side store. I mean, you can go buy swag. We got swag. I mean, so I'm saying right now, go to rightsideradio.org when you get a minute. Go on your phone, go on your whatever device, go on your laptop, your desktop, and go to the rightsideradio.org. At the top of the page is a button now that says the Right Side Store. And when you click on that, we got coffee mugs, T-shirts, we've got travel mugs, we've got phone cases, we got stickers. And my favorite, and Charlene laughs at me, but my favorite is we got socks. We got socks. So yeah, Right Side Radio socks. How cool is that? Copper, we have socks.
Still can't they are cool looking.
They are cool looking. I'll admit. But yeah, I got a pair, and they're pretty nice too. I got a pair of them yesterday, and they are pretty cool. So yeah, folks, here's the deal. This week only, it's grand opening of the Right Side store. You want to buy some swag from the Right Side store? 10% off this week. Our listeners are the ones who are going to know this because they're the ones who need to hear it first. All you Right Side ruffians. When you're checking out, type in the promo code RIGHTSIDE. Type that in. It's 10% off whatever you buy this week. So, yeah, do that. Enjoy it. I already had somebody tell me yesterday they bought coffee cup and stickers. So how cool is that? Well, we're out there, and it's all because of y'all. Plenty to talk about today. Lots happening. So as I'm going through the news, I mean, it's hard to go bouncing back and forth between state and national. Oh, international. Oh, yeah, that too. Just watching a minute ago as KT McFarland was on Fox talking about the situation in Ukraine. We're going to talk about some of that because coming up next, the first piece of the Triple Dipper, I'm going to talk about the Department of the State of Denial. Department of the State of Denial. That's our Department of State. The same ones who presided over Afghanistan are now working the issue of Ukraine. Oh, Lord. We'll talk about that in great detail. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, and just plain right. Hey, going to move into the first part of the Triple Dipper. You know, yesterday I was not able to to actually get through the triple dipper. It was like a, I think Travis from Just Love Coffee texted me and said, you only got one done. That's just a big dipper. So yeah, okay, I get it. But we spent so much time on Ukraine yesterday that it was, you know, it was necessary. But today I'm going to try and see if I can get through all three. The first one I've got in line here, I call it the Department of State of Denial. Department of State of Denial. So our Department of State right now, headed by Antony Blinken, who is a career bureaucrat, is literally probably, well, let me just say this. I do not have confidence in their ability to front the national or international issues that plague our nation in this modern world we're in. I'm looking right now at knowing full well that the examples we have of their ability to handle crisis and to thwart emergencies are only represented by what I saw them do at the end of Afghanistan. Literally, that's in my mind right now as I'm looking at this going, yeah, there's a problem. So Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State. Now, by the way, Department of State, one of the most high-profile cabinet positions you could ask for. I mean, it's no wonder, is it, that Hillary Clinton wanted to be Secretary of State, because it gave her the opportunity to sort of develop her international chops, right? To gain that experience she could use to round out her amazing political career. You know, the one where she came from basically just being married to the president to moving to New York to become a U.S. senator just long enough to run for the shoe-in she was sure to have in the presidency. Well, that didn't work out, and she became the Secretary of State. You saw how that worked out, right? Benghazi ain't going away, by the way. So now we have Antony Blinken. And the Department of State is not inspiring confidence in the current situation we see in Ukraine, not the least of which is, I said it on the air yesterday, but the articles are beginning to come out now, that just the other night, as I was sitting there kind of perusing headlines, surfing social media, checking out what I might do on the show the next day, I stumbled across a single tweet from Jennifer Griffin, who is the Fox News Pentagon correspondent. And she tweeted that she had been on a call, a sort of a press call, all call kind of thing, where the Department of State updates the press on current status. And the Department of State issued a statement during that call to the effect that Americans who are in Ukraine need to get out because the Department of State is not going to be in a position to help you. What do you mean you're not going to be in a position to help? Well, we already saw that, didn't we? We will not leave Afghanistan. We will leave no person behind. Well, it was only about 100. No, later on we find out it was more like 1,000 Americans, American citizens. And so what we're looking at right now is American citizens are being told in advance this time, not after the fact like Afghanistan, but in advance they're being told by the Department of State, we don't really have any contingency plans to be able to get you out if things go bad. So, like, you know, maybe you ought to do something. Here's a story, one of the first I've seen written. Daily Wire reporting on January 24th, which is just yesterday. Headline, Jen Psaki, Biden has no plans for using the military to evacuate U.S. citizens out of Ukraine if Russia invades. Now, I got news. There's an embassy rescue mission that is a part of the Marine Corps' mission skill sets. That already happens. But you also have time right now. This is not an overnight, what just happened? We don't know. Ukraine, oh my gosh. No, this has been brewing. How long has Putin had his troops massed on the border? Certainly there's a contingency plan. There's an evacuation of key personnel and their families plan sitting on a shelf of the Department of State. Lessons learned from Benghazi have to be certainly in writing somewhere, right? I would imagine they have what's known as a COOP plan, Continuity of Operations Plan. When I worked in the Pentagon, COOP plans are rehearsed and refreshed on a regular basis. There are people whose whole jobs are to do nothing but provide Department of State security. And, you know, escape and evasion and evacuation are all part of the briefings that go into part of being in that environment. Well, Daily Wire is reporting that White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki confirmed on Monday, yesterday, that Democrat President Joe Biden has no plans to use the military to evacuate U.S. citizens out of Ukraine if Russia invades the country. The question was, If Americans are still in Ukraine and things start happening with Russia, are they pretty much on their own? Here's the answer. You can imagine, you know, do the hand motions. If you've watched Jen Psaki enough, you know she has the hand motions. They're going out. She's like gripping the air while she's talking. Well, we're conveying really clearly now that's the time to leave and that there's a means to do that. Of course, there's commercial airlines. You can depart over land. That's now, y'all. That's now. You can do that now, certainly. There's obviously the embassy there to provide assistance, and this is very similar to what we did in Ethiopia, Kazakhstan, and many other countries, yada, yada. But the bottom line is, she ended up by saying the State Department had indicated there would be no military evacuation of U.S. citizens. So we're planning to abandon U.S. citizens. You can imagine some of the responses on social media. Ben Shapiro, I think he tweeted out, probably he'll get everyone out. I mean, it's not like there's still Americans stuck in Afghanistan or something. John Cooper from the Heritage Foundation tweeted out, this administration is criminally incompetent. Well, there you go. So the Secretary of the Department of State of Denial has no plans to rescue Americans. Other things that I'm seeing right now, though, townhall.com. With regards to everything going on in Russia and Ukraine, which we covered in great detail yesterday, if you missed that, by the way, you can always go back and grab it. I started off by giving sort of a historical perspective on Ukraine and Russia. I outlined sort of the geography of it. And then we talked through the news headlines on the massing of Russian troops, the sort of the gamesmanship or brinksmanship that we're in right now. Then I had a friend named Chris May, who's been to Ukraine 40 times, who has a ministry to Ukraine still to this day. He was on the show talking about the human factor. All that's on the podcast from yesterday. If you missed it, you can go back and grab them at rightsideradio.org. But looking at it today, Secretary Blinken, stating townhall.com article dated 2 days ago, Secretary Blinken emphasizes diplomacy and dialogue on the Sunday shows and assures a swift response toward Russia. Okay, what does that mean? He's saying, here we go, while Blinken spoke of diplomacy throughout his segment, he really emphasized it at one point when asked by host Chuck Todd if efforts were really all about diplomacy. Here's the answer. Look, it's certainly possible that diplomacy of Russia is engaged in is simply going through the motions and it won't affect their ultimate decision about whether to invade or in some other way intervene or not in Ukraine. But we have a responsibility to see the diplomacy through for as far as we can. As far and as long as we can, because it's the more responsible way to bring this to a closure. Okay, read between the lines. Diplomacy's not working, but we got to go through the motions. That's what I just heard. He just literally said that. He said he's not sure that anything happening is going to change Putin's mind, but he has a responsibility to see it through as far as he can. That's your Secretary of State admitting to the world, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't think Putin's listening. But I got to go through this motion because it's my job, you know. That's what he just said. That may be a paraphrase, but that is what he just said. And folks, on the world stage, when someone at that senior level makes a statement, people pay attention. And I guarantee you, Putin keyed in on that. Oh, see? They don't know what I'm doing, said the evil little man, sinister, while he rode his horse without his shirt on, wringing his hands. Where else am I in this article? Nothing else I'm going to put out there. Let me throw that one down and grab another. So then, while you got Blinken trying to do diplomacy with Sergei Lavrov, who is the foreign minister for Russia, suddenly we have a story from Financial Times. This past weekend, unbeknownst to our Secretary of State of Denial, France decided to unilaterally initiate talks with Russia that did not include the United States. This is what's known as a snub, y'all. This is what's known as it ain't working with you, I'm going to do my own talks. Remember, by the way, reach back here about 6 months ago. Macron from France is already ticked off at Biden because Biden, without so much as a how do you do, changed the terms of a foreign deal and sold submarine technology to Australia where France thought they had the deal. And Macron was furious. Even recalled the French ambassador France, by the way, is our longest ally in the history of our nation. And he ticked them off. And now Macron, on Wednesday, according to Financial Times, used a speech at the Parliament, EU Parliament, to conduct their own dialogue with Russia in remarks that blindsided other EU officials. French officials insisted that Macron's call for an EU dialogue with Russia was not in opposition to the continuing U.S. negotiations and was designed to strengthen rather than undermine NATO unity. Of course it is. He goes on to say, it is time that we build a, quote, new security and stability order. What does that mean? What that means is, I'm not enjoying NATO. I don't trust Biden. He ticked me off in Afghanistan, and he ticked me off even more with the submarine deal with Australia. Why should I wait on that guy to figure out where his teeth are? Let me go ahead and move forward on my own and cut the U.S. out of the negotiations. That's called a major snub, and our Department of State is standing there looking like the kid who didn't get picked for the kickball team. That's exactly what's happening. And that's awful. And that is exactly where we should not be, in the middle of all of this. All right, Copper, move us to a break. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about our Department of State of Denial. Folks, this, when you wrap all this together into a package, it is not encouraging. I mean, I take heart. I know where my faith lies. I know where things are for me. I know my family is doing well. We're secure. But when I watch the person who's in charge of our country and his minions do the things that they do, I cannot help but get just frustrated. And this is a classic example as I look at up close at the Department of State of Denial. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back with more of that. Hang on. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Time now, 2:53 PM. Moving through the triple dipper, I'm in a section right now I call Department of State of Denial. Hey, Copper, can you grab the mic?
Yeah.
Look up something for me while I'm talking for a minute, if you don't mind.
Sure.
See if you can find, just go ahead and check Keystone Pipeline. Department of State approval. All right. See if you can find, because my recollection was the Department of State had to approve the Keystone Pipeline. All right. So check that. Let me know once you find it. I'm going to keep talking. I just thought of that right as we're going on the air, and I think I don't want to confirm this because here's the deal, folks. I'm looking at an article right now from hotair.com. Hotair.com reporting as of 2 days ago. Oh, this is just gross. After the Keystone XL pipeline cancellation, we are now importing more oil from guess who? Russia. That's right. So here we are. We're in the middle of a massive level of military and diplomatic posturing with Russia. And because of the policies of the President of the United States, literally when he went in office, one of the first things he did, hotair.com reconfirming, hotair.com is pointing out, like everybody else knows, that one of the first things he did on day one was issued an executive order that canceled the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. Well, I mean, why is that a big deal? That didn't impact me. I still had gas in my car. No, no, you really didn't. Because what happens is this. He shut down one of our major production efforts. He also put in place a number of other policies that hampered the oil and gas industry. And then, oh, by the way, the oil and gas industry reacts and they cut back on production because they're not sure what's coming and can they even afford to continue doing under this administration what they've been doing. But under the new White House policies, Hot Air points out, supply has not been able to keep up with demand. And that situation leads to two things. One, we saw our gas prices go up. And two, we went from being an oil exporter to an oil importer. And then one of those we've had to increase our imports from is none other than Russia. What you got, Copper? You find something?
It looks like it is necessary. I'm seeing a lot of posts about them delaying the process or having to restart the process and investigate and have to give approval at every step of the process.
Yeah, that was my recollection, because that was when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. Thank you, Copper. I appreciate that. So that was when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and she was literally responding to the activists, and she was directing her Secretary of or her Department of State to not approve the Keystone XL pipeline. It finally got approved during the Trump administration, and then it got disapproved once again when, you know, Biden came into office. Well, like I said a minute ago, in case you've forgotten, which I know you haven't because I know who this audience is, here we are dealing with the Russians on a massive scale, and we're talking about putting massive crippling sanctions in place as one of our answers. Do you think for a second that Putin is going to be in the mood to increase production and make sure that imports and exports are flowing to the United States of America as we go to, you know, the mat with him on his policies against Ukraine? Not only that, but keep this in mind. Germany is now almost fully reliant upon the Gazprom pipeline from Russia. Germany is doing nothing right now to assist in the negotiations with Russia. They don't want to because they know what will happen. All Putin has to do is turn off the tap, and they can't heat their homes for the winter in a cold, cold Germany. And so that's the position we're in because of the Department of State, which, and the Biden administration, which sets the standards on international projects such as the Keystone Pipeline. That was delayed for so long while he was vice president that now when it was finally put in place, he's cut it off again, and immediately we become energy dependent in part upon Russia. And now we want to try and force sanctions on Russia. Good luck with that. That's the problem that we're in with when you look at policies overall. The Department of the State of Denial is seeing this in a broad spectrum. Now, meanwhile, by the way, it's rough over there. So reporting right now, here's a website, justthenews.com, that literally just reported that Russia and Ukraine are at what's called a level 4 do not travel advisory for the Department of State. So what that means is, to give you some comparison here, for the Department of State to issue a level 4 do not travel, that's the highest advisory level they can issue. That same advisory level is in place for Afghanistan and North Korea, if that tells you anything. So due to what the Department of State calls the ongoing tension along the border with Ukraine, among other things, to include COVID-19, they had to throw that in there, they are issuing a level 4 no travel, and that's an amazing situation that our Department of State is having a feckless attempt at negotiation. Issuing level 4 do not travel has no means of saying they're going to be able to rescue U.S. citizens if they're stuck there. Meanwhile, they preside over the approval of international contracts like the Keystone Pipeline, which Biden canceled. So now we're importing oil from the same country that they want to put sanctions on. More on this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.